morning, everybody, and welcome to May. Here we are. We've made it through April, though I'll venture to guess that none of us have ever been through an April like the one we just did. But just as the sun came up today, we made it through the month of April, and we're into May. And May tends to be a month of hope. It's a month we celebrate our mothers and Mother's Day. It's a month in this country we honor those who served and sacrificed their lives for us later in Memorial Day, and it is traditionally to transition to the beautiful season of summer. But we're here today to hear a message, and I think it's a real relevant message. It's amazing how the lectionary many times perfect, and I think the scripture for today will fit that mold. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity this morning to spend a little time focusing on you and your word, to worship you, to lift up your name, and to just blot out the world and just hear what your word has to say for us. So fill us now with your Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us as we dedicate this time solely to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start today by reading the gospel lesson, and the gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The gospel of the Lord. My friends, it's interesting here that once again, Jesus refers to us as sheep. And, you know, and he uses his own analogy in the verse 11 goes on and calls himself the Good Shepherd, which in, of course he is. But why does he refer to us as sheep? Is it because we're this lovable, cuddly sort of people that, you know, he just can't help but to, you know, to love us because we're cute and all this? Boy, I wish that were the case. That is absolutely the farthest from the case that you can possibly get. The reason he refers to us as sheep is frankly because sheep are probably the dumbest animals in God's kingdom that he has created. Yes, they serve a purpose in the lives of the people back then, and as they serve a purpose today, they provide wool for clothing and garments, and they also provide meat for people for life. And so they have a purpose. The problem is that sheep are extremely gullible and stupid. And for instance, a lot of animals, if you were to release them in the wild, they would probably survive. Not so for a sheep. A sheep would not. It would definitely perish. So a sheep needs a great amount of care. It needs someone to oversee it and the flock. So here again, Jesus is referring to us as sheep and him as the shepherd. In the first place, he refers to him as the gatekeeper, as the door to where, how we get in. So the sheep, a shepherd back in Jesus' day, were also not necessarily people that were looked at as high, with high esteem. They were not the movers and shakers of the region. No, the shepherd tended to live as an outcast, as somebody who was out away from the community, away from the city, doing a job that, frankly, not many people wanted to do. However, it was extremely important because people needed sheep for their sacrifice and, as we said, for garments and clothing and many other things. So they needed the shepherd, but nobody wanted to be that person. So Jesus goes on and he draws this analogy and he tries to show how important he is and the dangers that the sheep face. And I think we can probably relate to that very much so here today, because what happened, about 7 weeks ago, many of us were told we had to stay home. Unless you were deemed essential or you provided a service that we couldn't do without, you were told to stay in your house. You were told to avoid other people. You were told to do a lot of things that, frankly, are not natural and are very difficult to do. But fortunately, many people were obedient to that call, as the shepherds of our government informed us. But now here we are for so long, and we're sitting here and we're told the reason we had to do that was because of this virus, this something we can't see, this something that has come in to steal, something that has come in to kill and destroy all that we know. Sound familiar? I think it does. So the question is, what do we do with all this time? What do we do, and who do we turn to in this time? Well, I can imagine that in the beginning, many people were stunned, as I was, that, wow, I never thought we'd get to this. There's not a war, world war going on. There's not a nuclear holocaust. There's not any of these visible threats that we absolutely thought we could see. But there was this thing that was present that came to take away things that are precious to us. And for many of us, that's our freedom, that's our livelihood. That's who we think we are. So Jesus gives this analogy about talking about the sheep and why it is so important that we follow him. And what sets following him apart from following, say, any other shepherd? Well, when we use the premise that sheep are stupid, and gosh, I hope you're not offended by that, but I know that I can be gullible. I know that I can fall prey to something that sounds good, it sounds right, but yet it's led me astray and it's caused me great harm in my life. No, what Jesus is trying to say is how much he loves us and how he is the only one that will protect and guard our souls and our livelihood when we refer to him and follow him as the good shepherd. So how do we know that? Well, first off, in verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Wow. Jesus calls me by my name. What does it mean when we refer to somebody by their name? Somebody we know. It shows that they intimately know us. Jesus knows me among millions. Wow. I'm certainly not worthy of that. I've certainly not done anything to set myself apart to where he would say, Tom, follow me. But yet he knows my name. That's powerful stuff. So in the beginning, Jesus says one of the reasons why his sheep, who hopefully are us, follow him is because he calls us by our name. He says, Tom, follow me. Powerful stuff, but obviously it's not necessarily good enough. So Jesus goes on and he explains further. He says, look, here's what happens when I gather my sheep in the morning. I take them out. And then what I do is I get ahead of them. I don't just lead from behind. No, I lead from the front where I can see all the dangers and the hazards that are out there so I can protect my flock. I can take away the fears that many of you have. I remember when I was a little boy, we used to vacation up in the Wisconsin Dells, and we would go up there on numerous occasions, and I was at probably elementary school age, and we would go to this park called Fort Dells. It was a pretty cool place because it had cowboys and Indians there, and it mimicked the Wild West, and they had there a haunted house. I had an older brother, my older brother Augie, and we would get to this haunted house, and he would always want to go in. And he would try to get me to go in this haunted house, and the irony is that we would go in this house, it would be dark, and before we would even get upstairs, there was an opportunity for us to leave that haunted house and not finish it. And guess what I did every single time? Instead of going with my brother up to the rest of it to get the living daylight scared out of me, I chose the path to stay behind and go outside into the light so what I could see. Now, do I think my brother had evil intentions? Yeah, I think he wanted to see the living daylight scared out of me. But that's sometimes what brothers do. But I chose the path to follow the light. It's interesting because we went back up there with my family here last summer, and unfortunately, Fort Dells is no longer there. But doggone it, I was going to go to that haunted house, and I was going to prove that I could go through it. You know what? I probably would have got out to follow the light again. You see, Jesus is the path to follow. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So when you come back in and he brings back in the sheep into the place where he protects them, there is a door, they call it the sheep gate, and he is the one that stands there and decides who can come in and who cannot. Again, he is protecting us. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus would protect you and I, and he did this all the way to the fact that he laid down his own life for us. And why did he do that? He did that so we may have life and have it abundantly. I know it's hard for us to see that right now as we sit in quarantine. Well, you know what quarantine was originally? It was way back in the 1200s, 1300s, when a ship would come into port in Italy and they would quarantine the crew and they set aside a period of time of 40 days. Well, why did they do it any longer? Well, we can say it was a biblical reference, Jesus 40 days in the summer, who knows? But we can also say that they also knew that was about the maximum amount of time they could keep people in there in which they would be obedient. But here we are, and we start to see things start to open up. I just want to remind everybody who the Good Shepherd is. There are a lot of pastors out there, and one of the privileges and great honors it is as a pastor is a lot of times we're referred to the shepherd of our flock. And that is an enormous responsibility. It's not one that we take lightly, nor should we. It is something that's entrusted on us by the grace of God. And with that comes the responsibility of overseeing each and every one of our flock. And I have seen out there, unfortunately, many pastors doing, let me rephrase it. All the pastors I've seen and talked to are just doing an enormous job. They care deeply about their flock. They care deeply about all the people out there and their well-being and their livelihood. In every situation, not only the people that are so in fear of this virus, this something they can't see, and so worried that a loved one may get it or they themselves may get it, they also are deeply concerned about the livelihoods of the people that have lost everything and wonder even if they'll have a job to come back to, or who have businesses that may have lost everything. So yes, that is a tremendous responsibility entrusted on us by God Himself. But I've also seen pastors out here who are incredibly selfish, who seem to be self-serving, who seem to think that their pride and their ego are above those of others. My friend, there has to be a balance there. Would you do something? Would you ask your flock to do something that you're not willing to do yourself? I wonder. You see, Jesus goes on later and he says in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Wow. He knows you. He's looking out for you. He's leading the path. Shouldn't we all listen to him? Shouldn't we? Jesus is the good shepherd. And it's the good shepherd. There is no other good shepherd. And I know this is even hard for many to see. But Jesus is going to go later on in next week's message in chapter 14. And he's going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are so fortunate to have a Savior who loves us. That he would even, and he did, lay his own life down for us. Not because of anything that we deserved or because we're above and beyond anybody else, but because he knows each and every one of us by name. That's powerful stuff, my friends. That's more powerful than any virus or any thief or anything that can come before us. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.